This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The local infant mortality rate is still unacceptably high, but more babies are surviving to their first birthday in Cincinnati than in previous years. The Cincinnati Health Department is working to continue that trend, sponsoring a series of discussions for would-be, expectant, and young mothers and fathers about family planning, healthy moms and babies. And here to tell us about the Infant Vitality Brown Bag Series are Dr. Noble Masiru, Commissioner of the Cincinnati Health Department, and Dr. Jennifer Mooney, the Health Department's Maternal and Infant Health Division Director. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jennifer and Noble, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Well, Mark, thanks for inviting us back.
Noble, things are improving. Where does the local infant mortality rate stand at this point?
Well, just to recap briefly, in 2013, the infant mortality rate was the lowest in the city's history at 9.8. The subsequent year, 2014, we even surpassed that, another historic low of 8.4. And to date, as we speak, on the current trajectory, we're at a rate of 7.8. And just to provide some perspective.
And when we talk about 9.8 or 7, when we talk about those numbers, that's births per thousand, right?
That's the 9.8 deaths per lot per 1,000 live births.
Births, okay.
So to date, we're at a rate of 7.8 deaths per 1,000 live births. And just so that our audience will know, the national goal for Healthy People 2020 is 6.0 per 1,000 live deaths. So 7.8 trajectory now, 8.4 last year. And so Cincinnati is on the right track.
So, Jennifer, what do you think has contributed to this positive trend that Cincinnati is seeing?
I think a concerted effort has contributed. There's a lot of attention. Unfortunately, it's become sort of this buzzword around town. There's a lot of people who actually have more awareness of what infant mortality actually means, educating the community. And I think that a lot of our partners are putting together a lot of efforts at the same time and in areas of need, and we're strategically mapping this based on data.
Do you think that this is a trend that can continue?
I believe so. And in fact, we've already seen declines in things like sleep-related death, just because we've had so much attention focusing on preventable ways to eliminate this. So the ABCs of safe sleep, so alone on your back and in a crib, that message seems to be sticking and resonating with our residents here, and we've actually seen some success from that.
And just numerically, because we are evidence-based agency, is that the unsafe sleep deaths, our rate last year in 2014 was 0.48. That surpassed. That was below the Healthy People 2020 target of 0.84. So last year in 2014, we had three unsafe sleep deaths. And we attribute that to, as Jenny mentioned, the information, the greater heightened awareness, but the collaboration that we initiated in 2013 with the university and the Christ Hospital and home visitation agencies like American Mercy Home Nursing, that when a mother is discharged over the target zip codes that we identified had the greatest infant mortality rate, 10.0 or higher, that mother would receive an intervention of safe sleep education, breastfeeding, depression screening, are you on WIC, and do you have a medical home? And subsequently, the home visitation agencies would do the same thing. So the upshot, Mark, is that there were 3,000 interventions, education interventions, and 100% received the safe sleep education. So those unsafe sleep deaths declined from 11 in 2012 to 5 in 2013 to 3 last year.
Jennifer, when we talk about all the things that you can do to reduce infant mortality, how big a role does education play in this whole picture?
Well, I think community education is very powerful. However, I think there's a lot of folks who would question whether education always translates into behavior. So a lot of what we do is actually trying to focus on changing behavior. For example, safe sleep is one of those. Easily we can talk to people all day long about why you shouldn't co-bed, why you should always place your baby in a crib for every single sleep. But until we actually demonstrate how that works, show them how to use a crib, and you know they can actually implement the behavior, I think that sometimes it doesn't always translate. Other things we focus on the social determinants of health, things that affect neighborhoods, poverty. Those are huge drivers for what we see in infant mortality. Some of those things are really, really big animals to tackle. But if you can get a community involved and educate them on what these issues are, that empowers an entire community to help make that change.
Noble, I've heard for years now the term infant mortality. Now, infant vitality seems to be the term that I'm hearing more and more often. Why the shift?
Primarily because we want to promote what's positive, the elements that actually improve a mother's health, that improve the baby's health. So that's primarily the shift. So the breastfeeding education, nutritional education, the improvement dimensions there. So that's the driver.
And Jennifer Noble was mentioning several of the messages that you're trying to get out there. Can you expand on those? What are those prime main messages that you want to get out to parents and expecting parents?
Well, one that I'm deeply passionate about is the role of preconception care, and that families, you know, all people deserve an opportunity to plan when and how they choose to have a family. So, for example, the role of family planning and reproductive health. There's a lot of messaging going on around there. Unfortunately, there's a lot of political kind of issues going on with this as well. But we really pride ourselves, as far as the Cincinnati Health Department is concerned, on delivering these messages, providing opportunities for the services, breaking down access barriers, and letting people know there are, yes, you hear this information, yes, there are places you can go to access the services, and here we are. So I think one of the biggest ones is around preconception care. A healthy mother who has planned or intended to have this pregnancy is much more inclined to have a good result versus someone who had an unintended pregnancy. Data would support that.
What are some of the others, Jennifer?
Teens, messaging around teens and getting them access to education and counseling. We're sort of in a volatile environment where every school district kind of makes up their own agenda for how sex education should be practiced in the school system. However, we're kind of seeing the results from this where teens don't know anything. And if they don't have the information on how to have a healthy relationship, on how to choose a partner, on how to prevent a pregnancy if possible or be safe from STIs, then they're not really empowered. So getting that information to teens and letting them be empowered and make healthy decisions.
And also that's strengthened by our collaboration that we have with the Cincinnati Public School System. Mm-hmm. So as you may know, the health department is the public health and medical consultant for CPS. So with Dr. Marilyn Crumpton's leadership, we have nurses in all of the schools. And so the school-based health centers also provide a wellness and health promotion, proactive education for the students. And that really coincides with what Dr. Mooney has just stated in terms of matters around behavior. There may be issues around stress, financial stress, not just the physical challenges around domestic issues, bullying, et cetera, which are important, but also we don't want to dismiss the fact that the food, clothing, and shelter issues are extremely important, and having nurses in the school setting is an additional benefit. For example, Dr. Mooney mentioned the poverty issue, and we know that Cincinnati's children's poverty has been reduced from the 53% now to 44%, but that's 44% too high. And so we have a collaboration where we're focusing on the 45211 zip code, and there's been extreme success there by having that emphasis on food, clothing, and shelter issues. And Dr. Mooney can provide some insight as to what's taking place. Numerically, the infant mortality rate in 45211 expanded from in 2010 from 8.2 to last year in 2014 to 20.7. So we put in a real all hands on deck for that 45211 zip code, Mark. And guess what? To date, last year, 2014, there were 13 deaths. Guess how many there are right now? Knock on wood. One. Because of that, the all hands on deck approach to that zip code.
Does peer-to-peer counseling, what kind of a role does that play in this whole effort?
Well, we use all sorts of different methods. I mean, there's sort of these larger tactics that have been used where you're disseminating information to the larger community. Peer-to-peer definitely seems to be effective. For example, we have a men's health program. So one aspect of this, usually when you're talking about infant mortality, the conversation's usually around maternal health, infant health. And unfortunately, I think as women, we bear a lot of stigma and a lot of pressure. You're under a microscope. I mean, I'm pregnant right now and I feel it right now. So you are constantly kind of judged and assessed for your behaviors. But, you know, we're kind of leaving out 50% of the equation. And so we have developed a men's health initiative at the Cincinnati Health Department to where we're engaging potential fathers, young men, educating the young men the same way that we're educating young women on all the aspects of family planning and reproductive health. And that is a peer-to-peer sort of approach.
Mm-hmm. I would also add that that education and information, heightened consciousness, if you will, around the issues that Dr. Mooney talked about. We present that also to physicians and also human service agency folks. So, for example, in our WIC program, they receive the same kind of education and information and sensitivity, meaning the providers. They also need to have that information, and that's one of the reasons out of the Inside the Evidence forum that we had, out of that spawned the Brown Bag series that Dr. Mooney will provide some insight about.
Well, let's talk about that series that the Cincinnati Health mm-hmm. Department has going. You had your first session last week, Jennifer. What was that about? How did that all go?
I think it went very well. Again, we live in a community where there are a lot of different events going on, and this was a Friday. I think Fridays are usually great times for people to bring a lunch somewhere, go sit somewhere. It's the end of the week. Let's engage in a dialogue. And we had pretty good attendance for the very first one. We had folks from outside agencies who spoke on a lot of different topics that we don't normally talk about on a daily basis. So the whole idea of the Brown Bag series, and you know, in your college days, you would have this as part of any university. You bring your lunch, you sit down, you listen to someone give a presentation, but it's usually someone sort of talking at you. And a lot of what's going on in our community around infant mortality has been presentations, or you're going and you're hearing someone speak around these things. But what we learned from the Infant Vitality Forum that we had back in June is that a lot of times people bring a lot of ideas that really don't necessarily get heard. There's just not enough room. So we thought, well, let's make this more of a focused approach. We can focus on different issues, and then folks who are interested in those issues can sign up and just come to those particular events, bring their lunch and sit down and have a dialogue. So Friday we had our very first one on the 18th, and it was on maternal and prenatal education. And that one was kind of looking at the different patient and client education topics that are most important to women prior, during, and after pregnancy, how they should be delivered, how holistic is our current educational structure, and is it equal across the healthcare system. From there, we had dialogue on lots of different issues that, frankly, just don't typically come up. For example, we had someone from or someone who was actually discussing quite a bit on infant massage. And I'm thinking, what is infant massage? That's not part of our current dialogue around this. But really, when you listen to how it how infant massage is so important and relevant because it really goes into people's touch history and how they were treated as children and infants.
It's part
and
of the whole vitality issue, yes.
Whether your mother held your hand or caressed you or whether they felt it was appropriate to actually do that with their own children, those things are kind of what are surfacing, and we don't talk about those usually with relation to infant mortality. So it was really
fruitful. Were you
really
expecting to get that kind of thing, the things that nobody ever really thinks about
hopeful.
Popping up?
I was hopeful because, you know, that's sort of the whole idea of this series. But I was really, really glad to see that, wow, we're getting some new themes here. It's not the same run-of-the-mill meetings that we're typically having around infant mortality.
Now, what's the next session, Jennifer? I think it's on November 20th. What's that about?
Mm-hmm. This one is about resources for pregnant women and mothers, and this will actually be moderated by Betsy Buchanan. She is our director of the Hamilton County WIC program, which is housed in the Cincinnati Health Department, and it talks about available resources for women to achieve a healthy pregnancy. Is our system user-friendly? Is it really, really difficult to navigate? How can we be more collaborative versus competitive? Is there an overabundance of some resources and underabundance of others? And how does funding impact the service delivery system?
Noble, how is Cincinnati doing in terms of resources on this issue?
We can always use more resources, but specifically home visitation nurses. The care coordination component of our First Steps program, meaning the hospital discharge and what I mentioned earlier in terms of the home visitation piece, is that we are down 3 home visitation workers. And currently, right now, we have a backlog of roughly 30 clients who we can't see. So resources immediately, we need at least 3 home visitation outreach workers for that. That's an extremely challenging situation that we have right now. Another resource that not just the health department, but if we could develop something in a collaboration that would include the federally qualified health centers, along with the health department and other agencies that would like to be involved, and that's transportation. Transportation is huge. I dare say that if we were able to have a shuttle similar to what you see in the academic health center, UC, or at Children's, if we had a similar shuttle that would pick up Mrs. Jones and then bring her to a health clinic.
Get her to her appointment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would say that the IMR number, that infant mortality rate and the vitality issues that we're talking about, would probably at least be 2 points less than what it is now. And we're on a trajectory of 7.8. 2 points less would put us below or reach the Healthy People 2020 goal of 6.0.
Jennifer, January 15th, that one has an interesting title. I like that, the chicken or the egg conundrum. What's that session going to be about?
Well, I tend to think it kind of focuses on whether we're prevention or treatment heavy. And a lot of the initiatives that tend to focus on infant mortality are really focusing, in my opinion, too far down the line. We need to back up and say, okay, wait a minute, before this even starts, before this idea even comes to someone's head or before conception even begins, what's going on? And a lot of people focus on maternal weight, on their smoking status, on substance use. But I also like to think, okay, well, what else is going on? Is she living in poverty? Does she have a stable household? Has she been homeless? Is she in a healthy relationship? So what are some of the drivers that make a person whole prior to conception? So the sort of preconception ball game again, if you will. But a lot of our initiatives are really kind of focusing on, okay, well, we need to focus on infants because this is about infant vitality. This is about infant mortality. But I tend to think, too, we need to focus on our parents to make sure that they're healthy enough to conceive and have healthy babies.
And tell me about the other sessions that are coming up.
Okay, so the chicken or the egg, that's the prevention or the
that's
treatment.
That's January 15th, right?
That's January 15th. Oh, by the way, in the 2016 series, it tends to follow sort of the life course. So the next one in March, and it's every other month on the third Friday, March 18th. This one is The Truth Around Teens and Sex, where we are with teen pregnancy and sex education in Cincinnati and Hamilton County schools. Where are the resources for parents? What are the options that teens have for preventative and parenting resources and the policies that exist for teen reproductive health? And then in May, we have one called Myth versus Fact around family planning. And this is where we're going to be talking and diving into data showing a link between birth outcomes and contraception. A variety of methods will be discussed. We can untangle any sort of myths or misconceptions that people have, the political tensions around family planning and how they've influenced family planning decisions. Then we have one in July 15th, and this is drivers for a healthy pregnancy. So what works for a healthy pregnancy and how important is prenatal care, relevance of social support? What are the factors that influence access to and utilization of prenatal care, such as transportation? Mm-hmm. And how are we addressing behavioral issues for expecting mothers, like smoking, obesity, these sort of things that we know we can change? In September, we have one on delivery and postpartum experiences. So how does our system ensure here in Hamilton County and Cincinnati ensure that both mother and infant receive quality health care during and after childbirth? And how can our system improve the maternal and infant experience with this continuity of care, linking people up to home visitation? What are the current barriers? And are we being culturally sensitive and respectful? And how do we include men in this experience? Mm-hmm. So we kind of really dive into fatherhood there. And then finally, November 18th, this is where we're looking at beyond the hospital and really going home with baby. This is where home visitation really is going to come into play and how we're maintaining care for mothers and infants. So once they're pregnant, they have a child, fabulous, the child is healthy, they go home. And then voila, see you later, or what happens? So this really kind of goes into what does the system currently look like? How long do we really stay with families after they get home and, you know, our parents? That's when a lot of the struggles tend to begin. If you talk to our director of WIC, for example, she'll tell you that a lot of the breastfeeding issues that we see usually surface once the parent gets home.
Jennifer, how are you getting the word out to your target audience and the at-risk audience that needs to hear these messages?
Well, the good thing is, largely these messages and these forums are going to be with folks who are really, really passionate about making the change, and they're disseminating to their clients, to the folks on their caseloads. And we're relying, of course, on media and electronic messaging. But really, I think that most people will find something in this series that really, really kind of hones in on the population that they serve, and then they will be disseminating for...
And is the series going to be offered online at some point?
I don't know. That's a good question.
We'll see what happens. We'll see how it unfolds. But we'll see. There's probably more interaction. Mm-hmm. You get a greater benefit from the interaction. I would like to say, though, for our listening audience, for additional resources, please call 564-BABY, which is 564-2229. Resources such as Pack and Play, the onesies, or any additional services that a mother may need, we will receive your call and will respond to that call. 564-2229.
Well, Noble and Jennifer, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Dr. Noble Massaro is Commissioner of the Cincinnati Health Department, and Dr. Jennifer Mooney, the Health Department's Maternal and Infant Health Division Director. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Today's show was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Kevin Rowinski. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. Debates under their belts, the remaining Republican contenders continue the fight. And while she's still the top Democratic candidate, Hillary Clinton is in a real race with Bernie Sanders and Vice President Joe Biden, who isn't even in the race as of yet. On the next Cincinnati Edition, political junkie Ken Rudin and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson join us to look at how the primary fields are shaking out. That's on Cincinnati Edition, Thursday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.